When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot.
The one thing you should learn from me, I will never give up for the American people. Those are the people I'm looking at. Can we get to yes? Yes. We passed the bill.
With no Democrats. You need a bipartisan bill now.
So you get to yes on a deal that will take Democrats. Thank you, because you just identified the problem. No Democrats. So every Democrat voted against raising the debt ceiling. Nothing has happened in the Senate. I'm not a senator. I don't control the Senate. Why didn't they pass something? The president. He didn't talk to us for 97 days. So don't blame me for reaching out to the Democrats, for begging the president to meet with me, or trying to find it. And don't blame us, Republicans, when we put a reasonable bill together that we actually took Democrats' ideas. So when we put spending for government and increase it 1% each year to cap it, so the slow of growth of government, so the economy can catch up, that was a Democrat idea. When we put work requirements in to help people get a job, that's something Senator Biden voted for and President Clinton signed into law. That was a Democrat supported idea too. So it's not my fault that the Democrats today have become so extreme, so far to the socialist wing, that they are now opposed to work requirements, that they are now opposed to saving $1 less than you spent the year before. That to me really seems that the problem are the Democrats.
Ooh, that was a really good response there from Kevin McCarthy. He had a, that was just, what, maybe 7 minutes ago? Not like maybe, yeah, something like that. So that was a really, really good response from Kevin McCarthy though, because he's talking to the press about why the debt negotiations really aren't happening why they aren't really taking off. And it's because where is the big negotiator? What time did Biden call the lid yesterday? I was looking at this. And I thought I had saved it. Now my link is not coming up, but, he called because he calls it so early, but this is to the point. They've been there every single day working to get this done. The reason that we don't have anything is because Democrats aren't coming to the table. And he didn't get every single Republican, you know, on board with what but he got all the ones that he got enough to count to get it over the line. He delivered. Now, where are Democrats on this? And you know what? Because I thought this was really smart, too. He cited a CNN survey where the majority of people actually believe that there should be spending cuts. I mean, it's like, what is it, like over 60%? It's like something crazy. It's like over 60% of people think that there should be some kind of spending cut. So people are reacting to this. They understand. Is this like the first time in this debt battle negotiation that we've seen something like this, where people actually seem to be understanding that the issue is a lot of spending? And that's what Kevin McCarthy got into. And we're going to talk about some of that today. Welcome to the program. Top of this first hour. I don't even know what day it is anymore. It's Wednesday. It is Wednesday. It's a crazy day. It's going to get even crazier later today. I'm telling you, these are the times when you want to have the newsletter. Because those of you who are subscribers, you know something that other people don't. Just saying. So we'll talk about that a little later. And we're just going to let it hang out there. But this whole issue with the debt ceiling, everybody who listens to this radio program across the country, whether it's the simulcast, whether it's they're listening terrestrially, streaming it or watching the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, 347 channel, DirecTV, everyone understands that it is a major issue with spending. They see it. I mean, you can't, how many times in the past, because I was looking at all my bookmarks, I was looking at how often the administration comes out and says, oh my goodness, look at this. We are spending all this money for this and we're doing this and we're all of these things. This is what's happening. What all we're spending our money on, all these things. And people are kind of wondering why, wait, what? We're spending another, what? It's a huge issue. People see every single time the administration talks about it, they see just how much money is going out. They understand, and they know that they're taxed. They know it's not an issue of how much they're paying in. They know it's an issue of spending. And that's what Kevin McCarthy got into. I thought that was a very, really well done press conference. He's just not, yeah, he is not playing around. This was a great press conference that he had. And yeah, we have more of it because he got into how he was explaining what Republicans were doing. And then also explained, this is why we're in this mess in the first place. And then he mentioned this as well. Audio soundbite two. Listen to this. This was great.
Our brand new poll conducted by SSRS shows that a majority of Americans, 6 in 10 Americans, want to raise the debt ceiling only if spending cuts are included as well. So this is the McCarthy point that he's been making all along. Remember, months ago, the White House was in this position of no negotiations. A majority of Americans say, no, you should reduce 60%. Spending as well as raise the debt ceiling. 24% say
this
raise
is the CNN. Debt ceiling
no matter what. Only 15% say
this is
do
CNN.
Not raise it.
60% are saying that only if there are spending cuts. Only if. 60%.
So you know it's more than 60.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know it's more than 60. And that's CNN. You probably know they were trying to oversample just to bring that a little bit down. They get it. I love how he just slid into that. I wish, if we can find that, it's like 15 seconds long, but it was so snide. And he's like, well, and as you know, CNN, you're right here. You know that your own network reported. Oh, that was chef's kiss. That was some straight up chef's kiss right there. That was so nice. I listened to that and it slid like butter. Whoa. It just slid. Oh, it was nice. But he's right. And he made a great point. And there was nothing that they could say. They're like, yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of true. That's really what's happening. Look, Democrats have lost this. They've lost. They lost this battle. Thank heavens. And they lost. And it's not about winning or losing in terms of my side wins and your side doesn't. This is about spending money responsibly, being good stewards of taxpayer dollars, and not overspending, not getting ahead of your skis, and not trying to unconstitutionally abuse the 14th Amendment so that you can try to spend more. I mean, they were holding, I told you yesterday, they were digging in. They were mad because Republicans weren't wanting to pay for their goofy, I don't want to say relief. How are we saying it? It's not student loan relief because it's just sharing. You're making everybody else assume the loan. I was giving you the statistics about that yesterday because 60% of it is actually grad school debt. And this is the Office of Management and Budget. This is the government's figures that are run by Democrats. So I just want to put that on your plate.
It's a transfer of debt.
It is an absolute transfer of debt. Oh, and by the way, vast majority of the people are in the upper echelon of the income brackets. So you have the lower economic status that is paying for higher economic status. That's how that works. And they feel no shame over this. That's shameful. Pay your bills, deadbeats. Pay your bills. Oh, I said it. Get mad. No, we're going to continue. We'll follow the debt ceiling stuff. We'll get into all of that. Because Mitch McConnell goes out and says, everybody needs to calm down. If we default, I'm actually not worried. Are you worried? I kind of like it when the government doesn't work. I mean, when they literally stop working.
Right.
I rather prefer it. So big event happening later today, big event. There's going to be a big announcement in the GOP primary. Ron DeSantis is going to launch his presidential bid in a Twitter Spaces discussion with Elon Musk, and it's taking place at 5 p.m. Central. And yours truly is going to be asking some questions. Oh, yeah, I'll be a part of it. So it'll be interesting. I already know what I'm going to ask. I already know what I'm going to talk about. So I've been like, whoa, because it's one question that I actually haven't asked him. I have not asked him anything about this particular issue. So it's going to be a question. And then we'll see if and then it's going to be asking both DeSantis and Musk this and getting a response from both of them. So it's going to be very interesting. And it's a twofer because it's a question that I've always been interested in Elon Musk answering. And it's the one question I have not personally asked Ron DeSantis yet. So I'm very much looking forward to this. But he's launching his bid. I think that this is actually a brilliant move. Can we go back? Rewind. Let's go all the way back when I was in junior high. Lil Dana in junior high in the 90s. Do you remember when Bill Clinton, and I'm not comparing anyone here, but I am talking about mediums. Do you remember when he played saxophone on Arsenio Hall? He kind of announced on late night, didn't he? And everyone was like, oh my gosh, because he understood the zeitgeist of the youth. He got it. And that worked so well for him because he understood how to reach people that normally would not be reached. And I think that this, in a much stronger way, is incredibly smart because DeSantis is circumventing legacy press. He is showing that he gets the zeitgeist of, I don't want to say just, you know, conservatives or Republicans, but independents as well. There are going to be people that will watch this that aren't the cable news watchers. Everyone's like, oh, he's not announcing on cable news. I'm sorry, but I'm so over that. I'm over that. Aren't you over that? Because everyone who's watching cable news, everyone who watches cable news knows where they are. If you don't, you're a liar. Everyone who watches cable news, they already know how they're voting in 24. These people know, like if you're listening to me, you know how you're voting. I mean, for the most part, you know that you're going to be voting for a Republican in 2024. Whoever the candidate is, you're going to be voting Republican in 2024. You know this. But the people who are on Twitter and who are going to be watching Twitter spaces like this, they maybe don't. They don't watch all of this and listen to all of this the way we all do. So not only is he circumventing with his announcement DeSantis legacy press by going on Twitter, this gives Elon Musk, and I wrote about this over at Substack, this gives Elon Musk an amazing opportunity as well because Twitter is in the middle of a reinvention. See, we went from Twitter being a government agent censoring the reporting on a Democrat candidate and his philandering crackhead son to now Twitter is hosting a presidential announcement of a Republican governor. We went from Twitter suspending people like me for sharing. I literally shared a link, my own link, explaining the tech and algorithms behind suppression of the New York Post piece. But because I mentioned the New York Post piece, the Twitter powers that were during the time, they suspended me. We've gone from that. Now I'm going to be asking a question tonight. And the Musk DeSantis Twitter Spaces presidential bid announcement. But this is a waking nightmare for the left and their press. It absolutely is. They're losing control of a platform that gets more eyeballs and engagement than they get more eyes on this than CNN or MSNBC. Way so much. It's a great opportunity for non-Democrats to engage with voters while circumventing a biased press. And honestly, this is a coup for Musk. Because now Twitter has an opportunity to reshape what we consider the quote unquote free press to be and how news is delivered. Twitter is not just going to be aggregating and amplifying news. It will be breaking it this evening. So we have a lot to get to. The latest with the Republican primary. Can we talk about what the ever Whiskey Tango Foxtrot North Face is doing with their new ads? You guys haven't seen it. I'm going to show you, prepare thy eye bleach. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, That dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so I just, the first thing I thought of, I had the McCluskeys pop in my head. You remember them from St. Louis and they came out with their, okay. So a St. Louis neighborhood has come up. They had to actually hire private security to combat crime in St. Louis, in our hometown, Kane, in St. Louis. They had a network of 130 homes and businesses. It sends alert to private duty police officers that they've hired. So far, they've made a couple of arrests and they've disrupted multiple crimes in progress. They've had to do this because that's Democrat leadership and the corrupt restorative justice that's not actually going after criminals. It's near Francis Park in St. Louis Hills neighborhood. I know exactly where that is. I used to always want to live in that neighborhood. That's the gingerbread house. If you've never been to St. Louis, that's the gingerbread house neighborhood. It looks like you walked into Hansel and Gretel. It really does. But they've been having a lot of issues lately. But they actually have to hire private security because these repeat offenders are just, you know, out there and emboldened. The judge set the Stormy Daniels trial. Sounds like a direct-to-video thing. For March 25th, 2024. Huh, that's weird. That's in the middle of the primaries, right before, you know.
And he has a gag order.
Yeah, and there's a gag order, so he can't talk about it. Trump can't talk about it either. That's so weird that they did that. I'm sure it's totally a coincidence that they timed it for right then.
Yeah.
Plus with the gag order, you know, coincidences and stuff.
Sure.
Also, Rick Scott issued his own travel advisory. He told socialists to stay away from Florida. You know what? It's finally good to see people working together. So good for Rick Scott for coming up with this layup. He goes, well, you know, we're totally hot. We're openly hostile towards socialist communists and those that enable them. So, you know, we devalue those. So be aware. He actually said that. Good on him. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Summer is almost here and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving. A beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum sealed and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box and make this summer one to remember. Remember, with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code Dana for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
How is retail theft affecting inflation? Target says they've lost almost $1 billion in inventory, and this is just Target. But did Target lose money, or did you? Corporations don't pay taxes because their customers pay those taxes and what they buy, driving the prices way up. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Okay. So, are you afraid that voters will blame Republicans for this crisis and any possible default? And what gives you hope that a deal can still be reached?
Well, first of all, I don't think there'll be a default, and I don't see how you would blame Republicans. If there's any blame Republicans have, we're the only ones who acted. So, If the American public didn't want some, if they get rewarded for not taking an action and ignoring a problem, the Democrats are going to win that award every day. They did that with Title 42 on the border. They've done that with inflation. They lied to us and told us it was transitory. They did that with the debt ceiling. They told us we shouldn't talk. So I'm sorry. If you want to blame Republicans for solving problems, We'll take that blame.
I got to tell you, first off, welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash here. Sign up for that newsletter. You're going to want it. This is the time to sign up, by the way. I think I'm going to throw some gift subscriptions out. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. But welcome back, Dana Lash, your lovable curmudgeon. One of the things I like about Kevin McCarthy, and I did not know this. I was where was this sassy McCarthy? Where has this guy been? Because now I want to see Sassy McCarthy and Sassy Massey sit down and have a conversation. I mean, I like it when they get like that. I mean, he's just like, well, you know, we know the Democrats just don't do anything. It's hysterical. I like this McCarthy. And he's just very calm and just very, you know. Are you shocked that CNN had to report that people don't want more spending? Because, you know, we talked about this. I didn't break out that poll because I just was bowled over. Like 60%? That's crazy. It was probably way higher than that. But that's true. People are tired of it. We got more on this, but can we, okay, so let me give you some backstory. I don't like North Face. And it's a regional thing. So Kane and I come from St. Louis, right? We moved down to Texas over 10 years ago. And there was a kid back in the day who created a parody of North Face. You remember this? Because it went to court, Kane. And it was called South Butt. All of a sudden, everybody all over St. Louis was sporting South Butt merchandise. I'm like, where are we getting this? This is amazing. North Face got really mad and sued him and shut him down. He was like a kid who did it. So people in St. Louis, not really fans of North Face because, you know, this kid was having some fun and North Face freaked out. I get it. You got to protect your IP. But so keep that in mind. So everything regarding any outdoor company, particularly North Face, gets pushed through that perspective. So this is after we saw Bud Light advertised with a dude who totally does not drink beer and who thinks that women bathe fully clothed with jewelry and makeup on. And this was all after, you know, all of these other companies, the Target stuff. Now you have the North Face. They made this video. And I'm trying to figure out what, if you did not know what North Face was, you would not know what they're selling. So this video, it's, what was it, on TikTok and around social media? It has a drag queen running around outdoors. Juan has this. Let's play some of this because I don't know what they're selling. If you don't know what they are, you don't know what they're selling. Listen to this.
Mia, a real life homosexual. And today I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour Summer of Pride. This tour has everything. Hiking, community, art, lesbians making art. Last year, we gay sashayed across the nation and celebrated pride across
the
nation with hundreds of you across
the
nation.
This year, we're back again with two new stops.
Atlanta, GA. Why? Because you're there. In Salt Lake City, we're coming for you.
Patty, can we go?
Of course. This year, all these fabulous speakers will be coming from inside this TV.
What are they selling? You're an outdoor company. You're an outdoor. What are you selling?
Antipsychotic meds.
I mean, and they own Supreme, Vans, and Timberland too. Not Timberland, but Timberland. So I'm really trying to understand who are they advertising to, and what's the. Because I'm sorry, I've never seen no drag queens doing stuff outside. I'm just, you know, no woman does it, puts on full makeup and goes outside, right? Like that, and goes hiking and stuff.
Did that look natural anyway?
No, it totally didn't look natural. That totally did not look natural. That looked like somebody got a hold of an old 80s, you know those old 80s plastic Barbie heads? It was just the shoulder and then the Barbie head, and it was like for little girls to do makeup. That's what that looks like. That's not even good drag makeup. Oh, I said it. It's not even good drag makeup. But I'm just, somebody said it was the weirdest episode of Teletubbies ever. It's like, oh my gosh. Who hikes like this?
No one.
No
one.
What are they selling? Is that, first off, is that whatever the kaleidoscope outfit that dude was wearing? Is that something that they sell? I don't even know what that is. Those aren't leg warmers. What is that?
So they don't sell It clown makeup?
Oh my gosh. Was this, did I actually inadvertently watch a trailer for It 3?
Right.
I mean,
it's what it looked like to me. Like they were selling clown paint.
I'm trying to figure out why these companies are doing this. It's so bad. People are like, are we sure it's not paid? It's not parody. Somebody had a screenshot of it being on TikTok. It's not. We live in a world where you don't know what's parody from what's real because everything is so insane. These companies that sell this, I mean, it's one thing. I got so aggravated about all this stuff, like with the stuff that because they had Maynard James Keenan, who came out and said, because he's dressed in drag at performances before. It's more like performance stuff. And he was saying that he really doesn't even care about the Florida law. But then he added it. You knew there was a button. He's like, I just still don't understand restrictions. But here's the thing. There's a difference in saying that you don't understand restrictions and a difference in intimating that something is anti-something simply because there exists an age-appropriate regulation around it. I mean, if you want to go capital L libertarian and be like, I just don't know why kids aren't right in there with Hunter Biden, you know, like snorting blow off hookers' butts. I just don't know. I mean, if you want to be like that, then, you know, go ahead and like let that be known that that's how far capital L you are. But you can't say that it's anti-something if they're having age restrictions around that adult sex show performance, just like all the other. It's just so stupid. But my question with this is, Earned Media is supposed to be good media, right? I mean, if you have Earned Media, usually isn't that when the companies do something good and they get all this attention for it and they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't know that feeding this homeless person a sandwich with our logos everywhere was going to, you know, get us this media attention. I mean, it was totally planned. They, you know, do it on purpose. It's Earned Media. But with this, I don't know. Is the North Face really the label, the company for people who actually go outdoors? Or is it for people who go walk around in parks? Right?
And by Starbucks.
Yeah, by Starbucks. Kane, do you remember when we went to Portland? We had an affiliate visit up there and we were in Portland.
Yeah.
That was odd. But there was a real difference, though. I will say this about the Portland people. The people who go outside in Portland are way different. And I mean, like, do outside activities are way different from the people who do outside activities, like, in the middle part of the country, I think. Because they were in hiking boots and all this stuff. It looked like everybody was getting ready to legit walk up a mountain, like, right off the plane. But their boots had wear and tear. I noticed everything like this. They didn't have brand name backpack. I mean, they were like people who actually went outside. Do they live there? I don't know. But like everybody got off the plane and went off into the mountains. I don't know what happened. North Face is like the bougie stuff. That's like Planet Fitness. It's the Planet Fitness of outdoor activity apparel. You know how Planet Fitness isn't a real gym? And anything that has a lunk alarm, if you put a weight down too loudly, that's so stupid. Yeah, I just don't get this. I don't get this. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, at least it was, I will give him this. It was a guy who was like, I'm a guy. I'm just in drag. That's, to me, is less offensive than the Dylan Mulvaney thing where it was a guy who was like, no, I'm a woman and you will recognize me as such. It should be illegal for you to even misgender me. And then actually cosplay offensively what he thinks a woman acts like. So there's two that actually offended me more. There's being, you know, in good whatever. I don't wear North Face anyways. I don't care. But I don't know. I don't understand what these companies are trying to do. Are they all trying to go out of business? Is it a competition to see who can go bankrupt the fastest? I've got questions. Okay, so can we? So Target, some of the Target stores. I started seeing this go around on social media. Are they removing some of their displays? I haven't seen anything official to where it's more than just like one or two stores, but there have been some things that have popped up on social media. There was one mom who had a video up saying that she was in the store just like a couple of days ago, and the Alphabet stuff with the tuck technology. I don't even know what that is.
It's technology.
Technology. I'm trying to stay on topic. That they had removed it because of customer backlash. And I want you to understand, people are not making this up about the swimsuits in the children's section with the tuck technology. It was there. I mean, there's video of parents going into Target and showing these swimsuits in the children's or junior section, and in both sections, and showing you the tag where it literally says that this is how to, you know, tuck your stuff. I don't know how you put it. I don't know. I can't believe somebody would pay $20 for this. That's just trash. Okay. It's just so trashy. I don't know. Where's the asteroid? Kill us now, please. I'm just done. I can't believe I'm sitting here. I went to school and I'm sitting here talking to you about tucking. Where are you, Smod? There are people of you, there are some of you people out there who are doing like serious labor, or you're doing like math problems at your accounting job, something like serious work. And this is the topic of our country, because everyone is nuts, pun intended. Everybody's crazy. So anyway, Target stock has fallen. The company is scrambling to avoid Bud Light's fate. I don't know if it's enough, though. I got to tell you, I haven't been shopping at Target for a long time anyway, since the whole bathroom thing. And just because I don't need their stuff. There's nothing I need at Target. So which all you conservatives are still shopping at Target? Let's have that conversation. Anyway, their shares were down over 3% according to Google Finance. And so it's their fourth consecutive day of losses, according to MarketWatch. I mean, guys, it is so above and beyond with the stuff that they had on the racks, like that they had on display, like out there. They had, like, for instance, one of the tags read, thoughtfully fit on multiple body types and gender expressions. What is a gender expression? Is that when you act like a... Is that what that is? What is a gender expression? I don't know. Can we not have this made-up word salad? Are you okay? I don't know. What is that? I mean, how do you express a gender? The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun, available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, and sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Yeah, look, I mean, when I heard this, and I know Elise made a similar point earlier this morning, but I was thinking, so advisors were sitting around in a room and thinking, how will we announce that Ron DeSantis is going to run for president, something that's been highly anticipated? And the decision they made was to have him on an audio-only platform. Only 20% of the country has access to or really plays in, mostly coastal, with a guy who, by the way, is not expanding his own base of support and is also not doing anything to help with the awkwardness, because he's awkward too.
Oh, that's so dumb. I mean, she worked for a dude. I mean, who launched from his basement. And no, he came out of the basement to launch in someone's backyard. Joe Biden. You want to talk about awkward? That's Jen Psaki, who's saying that she said she thinks that it's not. First off, Twitter Spaces. I think it's hysterical that he's not doing it on cable news. That he's announcing not on cable news. That's what I think is so funny, because it's making so many people mad. So bypass them. And also, you have Elon Musk, who the left hates because he took away their platform. He took away. This, again, just to remind you, this was a platform that went from actually acting as a government agent, according to FOIA emails, to they went from censoring people, reporting on the president's misdeeds, his, you know, financial impropriety and the philandering crackheaded activities of his son, to now it's an actual open discussion where a Florida governor, a Republican governor, can announce a presidential bid. It actually has opened up, and they're so livid about that because they can't use it as a tool of oppression anymore. So they're flailing. I think it shows that he understands, as I said, the zeitgeist of everything right now, particularly independents. Independents don't watch cable news the way that partisans do. And apparently Psaki doesn't understand that. So I think it's a brilliant move. I think it's a super smart move. And that's why the left is freaking out. Remember, the press already has, they want to anoint someone on the Republican side. That's not him. We're gonna talk about this more. We got a lot still to hit. And we have an update on the luggage twink. Luggage twink update. Stay with us. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
You said today that negotiations are hard and they take time. Did the president wait too long to engage with the Republicans on the negotiations that he's in the middle of right now?
The president has been engaging or trying to engage with Republicans for months now.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I mean, first off, we have audio of that, which we're going to play here in a moment. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you to kick off this midweek. The midweek. It's a lot of stuff happening today and tomorrow and all of that. So it's good to be with you. You can watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, channel 347, DirecTV. You can also watch via YouTube, Facebook, stream everywhere, listen terrestrially. No, that's not true. So she says that she said the president has been trying to engage. Even now, keep in mind, Republicans passed the bill out of the House already. But can we hear a little bit of the supercut and sidebar? People who put music beds that are dumb underneath montages like this should be taken out into the streets and whipped. Let's go ahead and play 17.
I agree.
We don't see any negotiation here. We don't see anything that needs to be discussed. It's pretty simple and it's pretty straightforward. We believe that Congress has a constitutional duty to get this done. The president's stance on negotiation stands, right, which is he does not believe, as it relates to the debt ceiling, that we should be negotiating. We've been very clear. We're not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling. He never came to the table to negotiate on the debt ceiling. That was not something that occurred. That is not something that's happening. We've been very clear. We're not negotiating around the debt ceiling. When you think about the debt limit,
they've been clear. They're not negotiating. So at the same time, I mean, what is she getting at when she says that? Well, no, in fact, actually, he's been trying to engage Republicans for months now. I mean, we've got months of audio of them saying otherwise. So which is it?
It's a straight up lie.
Yeah, it's just an absolute lie. It's just, that's not true at all. Good heavens.
this morning, McCarthy even said it was 97 days of no communication. Democrats refusing to communicate on this.
Mm-hmm. Where's he been? I mean, he's been able to go everywhere else, but apparently not there. So we'll see. But if you look at some of the headlines, and let me pull up some of the latest from this morning. If you look at some of the headlines over this, they say that, oh, they rejected Biden's compromises. Well, Democrats didn't compromise. They also said in press conferences that they weren't going to compromise. What they wanted was the college loan payment scheme. They wanted to be able to push everybody's college loans for grad school and everyone else. And I gave you the statistics on that from the Office of Management and Budget, how it's majority grad school and it's actually the upper income brackets that this benefits. That's from Office of Management and Budget, not me. So people can get mad at the government for, you know, revealing stats. But they were demanding that be included. They were demanding further spending. They wanted more tax hikes. They weren't going to compromise with anything. The point is you have to reduce spending. And McCarthy noted when he was speaking to reporters just a little over an hour ago that the problem isn't revenue. I mean, we have record revenue coming in. We've had record revenue coming in. The problem has been government spending more than we have and more than it needs to. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, there's just no need for it. So whether or not, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this is it's bad going into an election season. I'll say that, because one of the reasons why you're seeing Democrats split, for instance, on things like the 14th Amendment is because it's an election season. The 14th Amendment, as we discussed, is not made for this. We talked with Andy McCarthy a little bit about that yesterday, and you can go find our discussion up at YouTube. I think Facebook also. But the issue is that you have some of these vulnerable Democrats going into an election period. They need to fundraise. It's not going to happen if it looks like they're going against the majority of Americans and are pushing increased taxes. It's an irresponsibility, fiscal irresponsibility. It's not going to work. So that's why you're seeing this. There is a huge divide in the Democrat Party that the media doesn't want to address. They always want to focus on, and they're going to hyper focus on Trump DeSantis, but they're going to ignore the fact that you have senators who are split on this. And there is a major, what's stalling Democrats and why Biden and others haven't actually sat down in good faith and had serious discussions about where the budget is going is because you have the socialist faction of the Democrat Party fighting with the more moderate faction of the Democrat Party. And so far, the moderates aren't winning. They're just not moving. I don't consider staying static a win, but that's where they're at. Now, a little later today, and we mentioned this earlier, the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, is going to make it official. And he's going to declare his presidential run during an event this evening on Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk. And that's going to take place 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. And it's going to be moderated by David Sachs. And he's a friend of Elon Musk. He's previously supported DeSantis. And he's going to be moderating the discussion. Apparently, after that, that's when he's going to then file paperwork with the FEC that's going to officially, you know, launch his campaign. So then he can fundraise and do all this other stuff. And so it's going to be an hour long event. Yours truly is going to be participating. I'll be asking a question. I don't know at what point, just at some point during the hour long discussion. And then tomorrow, the Florida governor is going to be on the radio program. He will join us at some point. I think it's in our second hour. He's going to join us on the program. And we're going to discuss. Yeah. And now, I mean, it's, you know, the presidential bid and how he's going to take what he's done in Florida, which contributed to a massive electoral victory, massive, you know, Republicans in every statewide office. They have the lowest unemployment rate in the nation. You know, budgets are all this. We're going to talk about how that's going to be expanded and be the policy for the rest of America. So he's going to join us tomorrow. And if you are in our YouTube discussion for the show, which is moderated by our chapter and verse Substack contributor, Lorraine, and there's, you know, a question that you think maybe that you'd like to see covered. If it's if you think it's something I haven't thought of, throw it in there, and we'll take a look. So you can suggest that to her in the YouTube discussion. So he's going to be on tomorrow, and then tonight I'll be participating in the event. It came about kind of last minute. I got an invitation to do so yesterday, and we'll ask a question tonight during the Twitter space. I've never done a Twitter spaces before, mainly because I just haven't. I don't know why. I haven't. I don't know. Like, I just never have. I mean, I feel like my account just finally now got unthrottled because there for a while before Musk took over. Well, I mean, you guys know, I and I don't know how many thousands of other people were suspended for sharing the New York Post story. And then after that, I think we were throttled because there would be, I would put things out and I wouldn't even have a single view on anything. I've got screenshots for days and my followers were frozen for months. Like, I didn't even lose anybody, which is weird, right? Like, if that, I wouldn't even lose anyone, not even a fake account or a troll or something like that. So definitely there was manipulation. And then if I would search for like most recent tweets, it would show stuff from, you know, months and months ago. It wouldn't actually auto-populate with recent things. So I think that's now changing because I know they said it was going to take a while to unscrew the algorithms and everything else that all of these partisans had done when they were running Twitter. This is why the left is apoplectic over this. Have you seen some of the headlines that they've had on this? It is wild. They are just freaking out. What did they say? They said that Twitter is, oh gosh, Twitter is now a haven for climate misinformation. Twitter's merchandise, misinformation. They said that, they're trying to pick a fight between Musk and Murdoch. Axios says Musk moves in on Murdoch. Elon Musk has displaced Rupert Murdoch and Fox News as the king of conservative media. They are trying everything that they can to push any kind of division. Twitter is now right-wing media. All kinds of stuff. It is wild. So they are losing it. They are freaking out. And I think also the inability to control discussion, because Twitter was kind of an aggregator and an amplifier. It was never a content creator. And now with the advent of now streaming video and being able to do things like that on Twitter, I think that Musk is trying to reshape what we consider to be the free press, right? Reshape how news is broken, which is smart. That's why I think it's smart for the DeSantis camp to announce on this. So it should be it'll be incredibly interesting. It should be wild. That's going to be a wild discussion, though. It's going to be a very wild discussion. So we'll make sure I'll send a link out if you on Facebook and Twitter as well, if you would like to watch the simulcast event. And as I said, I'll be participating later today. So we have a couple of other things I want to get into, including this from the IRS chief, the latest in the Hunter Biden probe. IRS chief says that they didn't retaliate against Hunter Biden. It was the DOJ via a couple of sources, including New York Post and Red State. They were saying, no. In response to the whistleblowers who alleged that the IRS gave preferential treatment to Hunter Biden, they said, no. Daniel Werfel, who is the IRS commissioner, said it wasn't his call. He said this was the Department of Justice that did this. He said that, now you have names coming out. The actual commissioner of the IRS, Daniel Werfel, said that he was not the one who retaliated against the whistleblowers and removed that investigative team. We talked about that with Comer last week. He said, no, that was the Department of Justice. And the commissioner explained exactly what happened in a letter dated May 17th that he sent to the House Ways and Means Committee. And he explained, quote, I want to state unequivocally that I have not intervened and will not intervene in any way that it would impact the status of any whistleblower. He says the IRS whistleblower you reference alleges that the change in their work assignment came at the direction of the Department of Justice. He says, as a general matter and not in reference to any specific case, I believe it is important to emphasize that in any matter involving federal justice proceedings, the IRS follows the direction of the Justice Department. So change in work assignment is a BS phrase. We all know this. And it seems as though he's trying to save his backside. But at the same time, it sounds like he is not entirely opposed to that having been done. I mean, I get the impression that he's very much in support of the move because, you know, of his you know, politics, but he wants to cover his backside. And that's because that's what they when they say change in work assignment, that means the guy who was blowing the whistle, the person who was notifying the House Ways and Means Committee about all of this, they were taken off that and they were given, you know, like a cleaning toilets or something. That's pretty much. But the whistleblower said that the entire IRS team that was working on this probe was removed from the case. And they said, because they sent a letter to Congress, and they said it was clearly a retaliatory action. Now, back in, and this is New York Post, this was back on in April, Daniel Werfel noted that the IRS, who's the IRS commissioner, New York Post said that Werfel appeared before the House Ways and Means and said that there will absolutely be no retaliation for anybody, any kind of whistleblower or anyone on this case at all whatsoever. Well, that didn't happen, did it?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible story. A father ended up being, it's in Maryland. A 43-year-old father was beaten to death, I mean, on his front porch, protecting his 14-year-old son after high school bullies and two adults showed up and repeatedly slammed his head into the concrete in front of his 12-year-old. They severely beat him. They beat him to death. They killed him with a brain injury. His 12-year-old son watched it and ran to help him, screaming, "Daddy," as the attacker smashed his head into the concrete, killed right there on his front doorstep. As a group swarmed his Maryland home, 43-year-old Christopher Wright. It was a fight that started at Brooklyn Park Middle School. It moved to his house in Anne Arundel County. And their 14-year-old got into a conflict with another teen. And then three adolescents and two adults showed up at the home and killed him. Unbelievable. Man, I won't drag that whole fam damnly. The whole fam damnly of those criminals and just throw them in a pit. There you go. What do we got here? That's just horrible. Earth-sized volcano planet. What? An Earth-sized volcano planet may have a livable environment. New. It's not about Smod, but okay. They said astronomers have discovered an Earth-sized planet they suspect is covered in volcanoes and could have the potential to sustain life. Now, that's if you don't get lava'd to death. They said that it was spotted by NASA's orbiting telescopes. It's the center of a cosmic tug-of-war in a star system. And they said the surface is studded with fiery volcanoes. Okay, but they said that they're hypothesizing that liquid water could exist. And it's the planet D, is what they call it, is located on the inner edge of a habitable zone. I don't know. It doesn't sound too habitable. Just, yeah, insane. Now, let's see. Staggering numbers of military-age Chinese illegal entrants, are surging across the southern border, according to the Daily Caller. They say that these people coming in from China are paying smugglers tens of thousands of dollars to get into the U.S., according to Border Patrol. They said right now there's some pessimism in China, especially with people in their 20s, about the future of their country. So, yeah, they're leaving, trying to get into the U.S. That's kind of wow. And Netflix is cracking down on password sharing. It has begun. Stay with us. We got more in store.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
They call it faith because in the face of darkness, you can see that brighter future. A faith that our best days lay ahead of us. But is it worth the fight? Do I have the courage? Is it worth the sacrifice? America has been worth it every single time.
That is the ad that's out that Ron DeSantis launched yesterday. In fact, Casey DeSantis, the First Lady of Florida, tweeted it out. It was a good ad. You just saw it there on the simulcast. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. That's a good ad. I mean, it didn't announce anything, but it was sort of like, And then he changed the website yesterday to the Gator, which are in jungles also. Just the Gator, Florida Gator. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, he's announcing today. I like the worth fighting for part. That was a good ad. That was a very good ad. And it was short, sweet, to the point, just for the attention span of the people who consume most of their media on social media. It's very good. You know what this is going to be, though? This is going to the media, and here's one thing I want to caution you on. The media needs a bloody brawl in the primary. They want it. They desperately want it. Not only do they want to pick who the Republican candidate is going to be, because they need Biden to win, but they also want to divide the right. And people are going to get, I've noticed this more and more. Maybe it's always been like this. People get very tribal in primaries. And I've never quite understood that. I mean, there are people that I like and people that I prefer, but I'm not a party person. I'm ideology. So I don't know if that's the difference. Because I don't view, you know, like party loyalty above all else. I'm all about ideology and who best represents that. But I've already seen this. The media wants this so bad. And they're trying to tweak everybody. They're trying to tweak you. They're trying to tweak Trump. They're trying to tweak everybody into having this be an all-out slap fight. And they want it to be an ego measuring contest too. And some people are prone to giving in on that. We have to, the stakes are higher now than ever in any other election. And I know that a lot of people like to say that every time that there's an election, a general election, but I want you to just very briefly take inventory of everything that's happened in the past 5 years. I mean, we saw how many people would easily give up rights during a lockdown. We saw what our children were being subjected to because we weren't paying attention. And if there was any silver lining to come out of the lockdown, it's that parents were forced to. I don't think that the backlash on what we call wokery would have happened without that. And let's talk about the wokery for a minute. Steve said he hates that term. I sometimes it's overused. But what other term is there to describe it? Because ultimately, it's easier to say woke than it is, I think, what it really is. And I get it, because we hear it everywhere. But it's really, it's Marxist theory. It is Marxist cultural theory that uses identity and physicality as the substitute for class and economy. It's the exact same formula, but it's a different variable. And this got very, very, very popular in the 60s and 70s in colleges. I've been writing about Derrick Bell, who was the foremost proponent of this for over 10 years now. I think I first wrote about him in 2011, 2012. So the things that have been happening in the past 5 years, the digital currency that they're trying to push everyone into. And then we see the weaponization of these agencies, the FBI, against even parents who simply want to take direction and want to be asked about what their kids are learning in the schools that they pay for. The intervention and influence of the one party over another to try to put their finger on the scale of an election. Back in 2016 with the FISA court and everything else. The restorative justice rot that we have seen, where you have crime increasing in cities where, and it's not a phrase, it's not a talking point, it became a talking point because it was so ubiquitous. These Soros-backed DAs, a lot of these prosecutors, we saw it happen firsthand in our hometown of St. Louis. We've seen it in cities like Dallas and Philadelphia and New York and Los Angeles, Chicago, elsewhere. And all of this stuff, it seems like it's ascending to a shriek. You look at foreign policy. Look at what's happening with one decaying geopolitical foe, that is Russia, and a growing geopolitical foe. That is China. Look at energy, which is now a national security concern. We're talking about forcing us, not out of necessity, but out of vanity, out of a way to signal a new false secular virtue. This fealty to the green agenda by making us subjected to and reliant upon China's monopoly of all of the materials that we would need to even bring the Green New Deal the Democrats want to fruition. Actually hurting ourselves in our ability to produce oil and gas. Hurting our ability to refine it by refusing to expand or even modernize existing refineries. There are so many things that are in play right now that for all of the discussion about the Rubicon, 2024 is the Rubicon. After that, without the White House, without at the minimum of the House or Senate, there's no going back. We're destroying our own military by turning it into social experimentation instead of just having them focus on warfare strategies. Our energy, I don't know how we would come back from that. We don't even have a rare earth element mine in production. Our refineries would further deplete. I'm good. What's just of law and order? Self-defense is under attack. It's all coming to a head in 2024 is the Rubicon. After that's the line. And after that, I don't know what else there is left to do. And it takes people showing up. And I know people get tired of it. They get tired of having to do their civic duty. That is the cost of living in a free society. That is the cost of living in a republic. I too would like to sit on my backside and not have to go to a fundraiser or raise funds for, you know, a local candidate even, or do, you know, anything, go, you know, take part in any school board stuff or anything like that. I would love to not have to follow all of that in addition to my daily duties. You would love to not do it in addition to your job, but that is that's the privilege of living in a free society. Thomas Jefferson once said, I would rather have too much liberty to attend to than too little. And that's how you have to view it. When you get apathetic and you get tired of doing it, that's when the right loses. The right and the left are very different. The left, they can be very emotional and they can rile themselves up. And the right, they're very practical, very logical. And you have the moderates that kind of go back and forth in between. But we don't react to the same things that the left does. Like with the whole thing with Florida, you know, that with, oh, that's racist, NAACP issues a warning. Well, our voters, people who vote, black and white, all ethnicities, all, you know, male and female, we don't react to things like that. We're like, wait a minute, what? That's stupid. What? But the left does. That's all they need. Give us our orders. That's all they need. So what I'm telling you is that 2024 is it. And the media wants to bait a battle. They want the Trump factions, the people in the middle, and people who support DeSantis to fight so bad that they irrevocably fracture the right. That is, if they don't get their preferred candidate, that's the only other way that they can see of beating you. How many are going to allow that to happen? I see it worse on social media when I'm on Facebook or Twitter. I love y'all. Some of y'all argue with each other in the comments to like there's no tomorrow. And then some are drive-bys that I think are trying to provoke you. Never ever allow an opponent to determine or program your reaction. Ever. Never let them prescribe a reaction for you. That's you giving up the power of your own sovereignty, for the lack of a better way to put it. And it plays into all of this. There are going to be some people who like Trump, some people who like DeSantis, some people, I don't know who, maybe like Nikki Haley. I have no idea who those people are, but maybe some of them do. I will tell you this, no matter what happens, and I hate it that it's this or that. I'm with you. I'm with the people who are like, why does it always have to be a two-party system? What have you done to change it? besides bitch on Twitter. That's what I tell people. I have friends. I have one of my friends who says this all the time. And I'm like, literally, what do you do besides bitch on Twitter? Oh, you posted a meme on Facebook? I know that sounds mean to say, but honestly, some people need a little bit of harsh talk to wake up. That's the reality that we live in. We are almost past the last exit on the highway. So you got to go with what you got. You got to play with the cards you're dealt. The system is, it's a two-party system right now. That's the way it is. Win and then change it if you don't like it. So there are going to be some of your friends out there who have different preferences than you do during the primary. I may be one of them. You don't know. I'm always very forthright with you guys about where I stand. But I'm also very forthright in that I view where I stand to be transactional. If I like a candidate, it's because I think that that candidate is going to leave me alone the most. That's really what I want. I want to be left alone. How much are you going to leave me alone? Oh, it's think he's going to leave me alone more than she's going to leave me alone. So I like this guy. That's how I view this. Are you going to keep your hands off my tax dollars? Are you going to tax less? No, you're not going to get us involved in every single war. You're going to leave my gun rights alone. Are parents going to be empowered? Are the individuals going to be empowered? That is the soul of conservatism. I don't think a lot of people understand what conservatism is. Conservatism is about conserving the power and sovereignty of the individual in this republic and recognizing that the individual will always have more power than the state. That's conservatism. Is the politician of that mind? So I'm just warning you, because everything changes after tonight. It'll probably be one of the nastiest primaries that you've ever seen. Remember who you are, though. Remember why you do what you do. And remember that your allegiance isn't to a person or a party. Your allegiance is to that animating spirit of liberty. That is the uniter. That's the North Star. And that's what you should focus on. I'll always be honest and upfront with you. And I'm always going to call balls and strikes, no matter where I come down on this.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man led a police chase. Well, he led them on a chase in a fire truck, a stolen fire truck, that is, from WFLA, Boynton Beach. A South Florida man was arrested after allegedly leading police on a multi-county chase in a stolen fire truck. The Miami Fire Rescue Crews were conducting a training exercise in North Miami Beach. This was just this past Thursday. And then one of their trucks drove off. I mean, a person drove their truck off. Police identified the man inside as Lee Cambrick Hanna, 31. The truck struck a police cruiser, and no one was in the car at the time of the crash. And then the chaos ensued. They went on I-95 and they went through Broward County, and they finally ended the pursuit. He surrendered to police on the side of the road, and he's in Palm Beach County Jail. He's being held on almost $8,000 bond, grand theft of emergency medical equipment. And apparently they had numerous agencies involved in this. Oof. Oh my goodness. So this, that's pretty. I have this one. It's not a Florida man guy, but you remember the guy who, the Florida guy who got his arm bitten off? We literally had that yesterday. It was Sunday when it happened. Jordan Rivera, the Banditos Bar, he fell into the pond. You know what he lost a whole arm. He said, that's not the end of the world. A 10-foot gator ate his arm, and he goes, yeah, it's not the end of the world. I didn't lose my life. I lost an arm. It's not the end of the world. And he goes, oh, those gators, I didn't understand them until I woke up in the hospital and, oh, gator got your arm. And apparently it bit it off right above the elbow, too. So he only has part of his upper arm remaining. Whoo, boy. Good for him. He's got a very positive outlook, right? Let's see. A man claiming to be a time traveler threw a brick through a window to save homeowners. 37-year-old Florida man. The police responded to a local residence. They thought it was going to be a burglary. The victims called the police. They said a loud crash woke them up. Their baby cried, and they found a brick on the floor. The victims informed the officer You know, they identify the guy. He was taken into custody. We don't have any $15,000 bond. We don't have any court date yet. Goodness. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
In your time, I think it would be probably correct.
Okay.
So, we'll be interviewing Ron DeSantis, and he has quite an announcement to make. And it will be the first time that something like this is happening on social media and with real-time questions and answers, not scripted.
The left is so mad. They're so mad because their platform, they can't control it anymore. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour, ladies and gentlemen, on this Wednesday, you can listen to the radio program from coast to coast terrestrially. You can also stream it. You can watch the simulcast as well on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. I think that the way that CNN and others, and Lorraine, who is a contributor over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, has noted this too. CNN has this, they were trying to write a piece. I'll give them credit for trying to, they're trying to figure out a way. How can we write a piece that goes after Trump, DeSantis, and Musk all at the same time? So they're trying to say that DeSantis is trying to out Trump. I don't even know what that means. But what really gets me is they went after Twitter Spaces. His choice of venue, the site's audio platform, exemplifies the Trump-era GOP transformation into a party that rewards gesture politics, whose activists respond to the unmoderated social media jungle while disdaining traditional standards of conduct and governance. This is CNN's take. They think that Twitter, when it wasn't owned by Musk, apparently embraced the quote-unquote traditional standards of conduct and governance, which apparently include allowing pedophiles to stay on, but suspending people who shared a New York Post story about the FBI investigation, a legitimate investigation into Hunter Biden. They believe that suppression and censorship are traditional standards of conduct and governance. And they think that having to defend their ideals is, quote, an unmoderated social media jungle. They can't hack it. They are so used to being coddled in safe spaces with leftists running their platforms and weeding out dissent for them that they cannot handle having to actually defend their ideas themselves. They look at it as though they're too good to. You should just agree with them and that's and be done with it. How dare you expect them to actually defend their ideals? It's like expecting Meryl Streep to audition for a role. How dare you expect them to defend their viewpoints? It is snotty. It's snotty without any basis for being so. It's not that they're smarter or that they have a remarkable talent. It's just that they're full of themselves. They're so mad about this. Listen to this. The unruly populism of the modern Republican Party. What? You guys literally lied and you paid off journalists to write false stories that you used and presented towards a FISA judge to get a spy warrant on somebody. Shut up. They're livid. That they're so mad. And it doesn't matter if it's DeSantis. It doesn't matter who it is. They're mad. If this was a Democrat, if Joe Biden, well, didn't he announce his bid in the Atlantic? When he was giving an interview, didn't he announce it in the Atlantic? If this was Joe Biden, if Joe Biden had had the brain cells to think, oh, you know what, I might do this. Oh, they would think it's the coolest thing in the world. Oh my gosh, they would love it. But they're mad. They're mad because Musk believes in free speech. And free speech doesn't mean speech that just they like. It just means that you have free speech. If you don't like it, you don't have to engage it. If you don't like it, you don't have to read it. But their like or dislike of what is being said isn't the standard of measure to use in determining whether or not it should be said. But that's not how they view it. Listen to this. Listen, I cannot, guys, I could sit here and spill tea about this article all day long. This article is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever read in my life. Listen to this. Kane, you're going to freak. That's because Twitter, which once offered offered a platform for democratic movements in the Arab Spring, has been transformed by its new owner into a febrile circus of untamed free speech, conspiracy theories, and unverifiable information. How many fact checks has Biden had to have on him?
Yeah.
Just like lately. Or Kamala Harris? How many fact checks did AOC?
Adam Schiff.
So they came up with a story that I actually was going to hit. They go right into this. Let me pull this up. Because this had to do with an AI. It gets into some fake news. So this story, did you guys see the story of a fake image of an explosion near the Pentagon? It caused the stock market to blip a bit, right? And I thought, okay, well, the New York Post said it was an AI-generated photo of a fake explosion outside of the Pentagon, and it sparked a brief stock sell-off. Arlington County Fire Department quickly tweeted a message debunking it. Okay, they debunked it. And? So they're mad because people were quick to not verify it? Here's the thing about this. In a free society, there is a responsibility of people to not be stupid. Okay? I think we can establish this. If you see something like this, most of us are like, let's wait for some additional reporting. Let's wait and see if, you know, this is verified and if, you know, the people reporting on it actually call, you know, like the fire department, etc. You had reporters out there who were just retweeting it without even verifying it with emergency agencies. That's stupid. That's not reporting, nor is it smart. So because people did not use the technology available to them to call the people who would know or get a comment from them, and they just decided to amplify it like sheep, that means the speech is bad because people were stupid? That's what they're arguing here. They cite that story and they say that, well, this whole election is going to be plagued by more misinformation and AI-generated falsehoods. It always has been. People have a responsibility to not be stupid. How infantile are you to expect that everything be spoon-fed to you and be fact-checked for you? Oh my gosh, do people on the left not take any ownership in anything? Responsibility in anything? Boy, oh boy, maybe before I retweet this, I should make sure it's real, said no leftist ever. Jiminy Christmas. I mean, I saw this photo and I was like, I saw it. And I immediately knew, I'm like, let's see what else. It was weird that there was nobody else posting it. It wasn't trending like the way that normal stories do. It just looked odd. And I waited. But the left doesn't like to wait. They're the people who come out like after a mass casualty incident. They're like, oh my gosh, it was probably a white Republican Reagan lover, MAGA hat wearing, whatever. I mean, that's what they say, right? They immediately rush to that conclusion. They immediately push that. And then it comes out to be like not at all those things. They cannot believe. You mean someone's not going to tell us whether this is legitimate or not? Are you kidding us? Someone's not going to tell us? I mean, I read this story about this woman giving birth to Bigfoot. Are you seriously going to tell me that no one's going to tell us whether or not that's... How are we going to live if no one tells us? How are we going to live if there's not an authority that tells us whether or not the things that we're reading are actually real or not? Who's going to fact check for us? That's how they react. That's literally the lives that they lead. That's insufferable. I mean, yes, you kind of have to not be a moron. You know, freedom works when there's a little bit of... By the way, that's why Hillsdale... That's why Hillsdale College, and you can go to DanaFOR4Hillsdale.com. That's why they say that liberty, that education is important to liberty. Because of stuff like this. Oh my gosh. And so they're saying that, well, you know, because that AI generated story, by the way, everyone immediately came out and thought, I wasn't the only one who thought that was sus. So many other people came out and thought, that looks weird. Except for the person writing this article, apparently. The Stephen Collinson. He thought, apparently, I guess it was real. And is freaking out. I mean, heaven forbid. So they're mad because this is a major tool going into the election, the general election. And the left cannot figure out how to neutralize it. They tried to neutralize Musk, but he's got blank you money. So, you know, we learned with J.K. Rowling that when you get so much money that you can't be canceled, you're uncancelable. So they don't know what to do. They can call him a Nazi. They have. They've called him like everything. Didn't they say that he was a Nazi again? What was the, who was it that came out? What was the headline? Hold up. Let me look at it. Was it, it was either Axios or The Atlantic or Washington Post that said a story that, that Musk was holding a Twitter space to announce and that they, it might as well have been like a Klan member or something like that. I can't remember how they put it. Oh, it was Vanity Fair. It was Vanity Fair. And that's surprising. Vanity Fair, these people are clowns. The guy named Bess Levin said that Twitter is a safe haven for hate speech. And the headline was, Ron DeSantis will formally announce his 2024 bid with Elon Musk because apparently David Duke wasn't available. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised that the Democrats know all who the Grand Lizards are and everything that are in the Klan. I mean, you know, being that it's the activist arm of their party. So, you know, it seems perfectly understandable that they're incredibly comfortable with name dropping people in that organization, that group or whatever it is. Right. They always know who those people are and they're quick to cite them and name them. Seems like a cozy relationship. So I hope that there's crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can't wait. By the way, yours truly will be participating in the Twitter Spaces event. There's like five of us, I think, and then that are participating. And I'll be asking a question. And I already know what I'm going to ask. I'm not going to tell you now. It was one of the things that I actually have not asked before because I was thinking, gosh, there's what have I not asked that could be far reaching into a number of different areas that would be a really good measure of where they stand on a few different things. And I think I settled on it. So I'll send a link out on Facebook or Twitter, both. And then tomorrow, the Florida governor is going to be on the radio program. And if you are in the YouTube chat discussion, if there's a question that you would like to see asked, tell Lorraine. And we will, if I haven't already thought of it, then we'll incorporate it. All right. So we have headlines on the way. And then can we talk about how apparently the Little Mermaid reboot is going to be a flop for Hollywood? And I don't even know. I don't even care. I don't know why we have to do all these reboots. Why? People are, I don't know. There was so much controversy over this. Notice how everybody got quiet about Netflix and Cleopatra when Egypt got mad. You know, the whole story, Egypt is literally suing, the whole country of Egypt is suing Netflix because they said they blackwashed Cleopatra. Whew, man, history is important. You know.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This story got me. I saw this last night and I could not believe it. So get this. You guys remember it's the meme where it's the farmer in a field and it says, it ain't much, but it's honest work. I've used that. I don't know how many times. I can't tell you how many times I use that. I think a week. So the farmer, it's a real guy, 76-year-old Dave Brandt. And he was a known proponent of no-till farming. He traveled around the country talking about sustainable agriculture techniques and soil health. But it was at that Natural Resources Conservation Service event that he held on his farm. That's when he went viral. Well, he was hurt in a crash in Urbana, Illinois on Thursday, and he passed away from his injuries on Sunday. 76 years old. I know. I can't believe this. That's like, I mean, that's so, it's sad. And I mean, everybody knows this guy. So prayers for his family. A wild brawl broke out at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. And there's video. Not a bit of the audio can be played. Not a bit. It started between two passengers who were deplaning. And it turned, everyone chose violence when they got to the lower level of Terminal 3. And it was a little after 11 p.m. So I'm sure people were tired. It was a late night. You know, Chicago police said that every single person involved was charged with one misdemeanor count of battery. Everybody was throwing hands in small groups. It was like a Renaissance painting of chaos. It was wild. Everybody was doing something. There was some place to look, no matter where you were. I mean, that's just, that was wild. I was telling you this headline. Disney's Little Mermaid reboot is set to be a record flop for Hollywood. So they actually got it to open in China, and it only made like $120,000 so far for their opening. I know. So what does that mean? We got a lot more in store. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This proposed rule is not a ban on gas stoves. This proposed rule is not a ban on gas stoves. Yeah, we are regulating indoor air pollution.
But it is, though. That's Cori Bush from our hometown of St. Louis. It is, though, a ban about gas stoves because they're literally banning them from, they want to ban them from new construction. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this third hour. They want to ban them from new construction. Now, remember when we were talking, when we first were talking about this, when they floated it, as they were saying that it wasn't a ban. No one's talking about your gas stoves, you crazy conservatives. You freaks, conspiracists. Wait, what? But then you guys started immediately talking about it. So when they did the study, when we talked about this, and I had pulled this up, it was a study where they were measuring, I guess, you know, harmful, you know, emissions put off by gas stoves, and they used a sealed room with no ventilation. So an airtight shut room with zero ventilation. That's what they used. There are household cleaning materials that you can't even use like that. This is asinine. And that's the one study. What was it? Alex Epstein, who had a whole thing on this. We had him on the show and he brought this up and he has a whole piece on this. I think I sent it out to you guys in the newsletter. That's the whole movement against the gas stove thing from the left is based on that study. Tell me that that's not crazy. Oh my gosh. This is all about, it's the push to the green stuff. Electric stoves are garbage anyway. I would legit break the law. I would have a standoff. It would be like Lexington and Concord. I am not even joking you. I'd double dog dare them to come up on my new construction and would be taking my gas stove. Oh my gosh. Now what's interesting, who is the guy? He has the fish restaurant. Jose Andre, is that what his name is? So, yeah. Yeah. I think I don't like him. He seems like a lefty. I think he's a big lefty. So he had all this new, he has all these like new restaurants and stuff because New York is where they're pushing this. Starting to anyway. He got an exemption for his. Now they say, well, because he's a big advocate apparently of this, and they were saying, well, you know, it's because his started before they began drafting and pushing this legislation, Kane and everybody else. They started before. No. I thought if you believe it, then why wouldn't you? It doesn't matter when. Do you really believe it? Just wondering. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a coincidence. I saw this yesterday morning that Jose Andre unveiled a U.S. Food and Climate Institute. Isn't that weird? Like he got the pass on the whole climate thing because he started the U.S. Food and Climate Institute. So
how interesting is that?
Yeah, isn't that something? Just coincidence, though.
I saw him. Yeah, he's like a big. I think he's like a big lefty. He owns a bunch of these different restaurants. He's known for his humanitarian work and all this. He's from Spain. But he has, when we were on vacation, I think I accidentally ate at one of his places. I don't remember. I didn't get to choose it. It was somebody else that chose it. But, he talks a lot about politics and he does talk a lot about the climate and environment, but it's interesting because his restaurants, his new construction in New York, they're all exempt. So he was given an exemption that allows his new restaurant to use gas stoves. Now they say, well, it's because he applied for his building permit in 2019. And that was before the city council revised the building codes. But he talks, goes on and on and on and on about, and this was, there was Palo Alto officials. This was, and I'm going to revise myself, Palo Alto's where, he has stuff in New York. Palo Alto's where apparently they already have this in effect. New York is where they just passed it, and California is where it's already in effect. He was opening a new restaurant in the Stanford Shopping Center in Palo Alto. And the Simon Property Group, they applied to build a restaurant in 2019, blah, blah, blah. And they had the gas line, all this stuff. Oh, now, but now, look, I mean, he's, you know, he's, they said they would have to alter their signature five-star menu without a gas connection and appliances. And they're unwilling to do that. That's what his attorney said in a statement.
Why can't that be the excuse for all of us?
That's so weird. See, also without a gas connection and appliances, I would be forced to alter my signature five-star menu here at my house, too. Right. And I am unwilling to do that. I mean, it's the government. They spent $1 billion on a GeoCities health website that just didn't even work like 10 years ago. Why in the world would we trust them on anything else? Why? It's rhetorical. We wouldn't. I mean, that's the whole point. We wouldn't. Good heavens. All this stuff is so asinine. All right. So I have a couple of other things. We were talking about the North Face stuff earlier. I mentioned this story and I wanted to come back to this because I didn't have enough time for it yesterday with everything that started popping off. This sounds unbelievable. This is from, let me pull this up. It's the Publica. And it has to do with, this is in Britain in Derbyshire. So essentially how I have it written in here. And this is how it is. A woman can be hospitalized. She was sexually abused by a guy who identifies as a woman. She went to seek help for the abuse. And then she was reported to the police because she misgendered the abuser while in the hospital for the abuse. That's a real thing. So this is where it's all coming to. She was released from the hospital. She was seeking treatment following the abuse from this guy who identifies as a woman. She said, when we met, he was a bodybuilder. His biceps were bigger than my head. I've never met anyone as big as him. A year into the relationship, she discovered that he dressed in women's clothing and then he wanted to transition. She said that it completely blindsided her. She was not interested in affirming his declaration. And she said, I knew right away that I wasn't going to stay in the relationship. She said that she felt sorry for him. But she thought that they could part as friends. But then he became physically abusive towards her. And he strangled her till she passed out. And he tried to blame it on his gender identity issues. And he said that he had beat her and strangled her because, you know, he was jealous that she was a real woman and he wasn't. Oh, my gosh. And then he would accuse her of cheating. He controlled everything in her life. He just beat the hell out of her, basically. He also... oh, man. I mean, he bloodied and beat her. I mean, it was bad. He also made her ingest household cleaning disinfectant. He shoved it down her throat because she was spritzing herself with facial toner and some of it got on him by accident. Yeah. So she goes to the hospital because he screwed her up, right? He messed her up. He beat her up. She goes to the hospital and she said that, you know, she was giving the report. He had been reporting her, because they have very strict laws over there regarding trans stuff, and trying to accuse her of basically being abusive towards him because she wouldn't affirm him. No joke. So she was at the hospital. This was in Derbyshire, and this was, I guess, she had misgendered him in the report, the police report that she made, and. Long story short, there was a complaint made against her and they said that she was offensive and she had to attend a formal interview. She can be asked questions regarding the offense, et cetera, et cetera. That's insane. This is absolutely insane. This is a crazy story. And apparently while she was in the hospital receiving treatment, she had a conversation with a nurse who kept insisting that a patient was non-binary, who was a man who identified as a female. And she apparently disagreed, and that was the other part of it. You can be reported. So she, oh my gosh. This is the world in which we live. Yeah, it's science. Now you can see that. I mean, there's, it is abusive. Some of these activists and everything else, but this woman was gaslit and then beaten, and then she's the one who's in trouble, and this guy gets off like scot-free, I guess, from everything. That, oh no, it's because I was jealous of you because you identify as a woman, or you are a woman. I only identify as one. That is also emotional abuse. Good heavens, this is. Do you think that the pendulum is swinging back? I don't know. I feel like it's starting to, but boy, is it slow. I like to think maybe it's just building up momentum. I told you I had an update about Luggage Twink. Remember Sam Brenton? The guy, Biden, yeah, the guy who's literally in charge of nuclear waste, no big deal, who stole all these women's luggage, all these women's suitcases. Remember the suitcase that he stole from the one woman? She was a designer. She was an African designer. Like, she was, like, actually from Africa, a designer, and so she had, like, certain materials and patterns that she used, and he legit straight-up stole her stuff and wore it out everywhere. So now he wore it for public appearances. So now he's being held in a men's jail. He's charged with her. She went through with it. Good on her. And he was arrested at his home, and now he's being charged with stealing from this woman. It was the red dress. Remember the red dress he's pictured wearing everywhere? That was the stuff and the necklaces that she had made. So now he's being charged for that because apparently it was worth a lot because it was original design and she's a pretty well-known designer in her country and all this stuff. So, yeah, so they have a hearing scheduled for June 14th and he's being held in the male prison. Montgomery County Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, they said, nope, inmates got to go with where their biological sex was at birth, regardless of what they want to pretend to be as. Good for them. Because women don't deserve to be subjected to this guy. They don't at all. And apparently they found when they were searching his home other stuff. Do we know? I mean, I bet he has stolen so many suitcases over the years. I mean, I wouldn't, who knows? But that was the big mess up because it was original designs. So we have Today in Stupidity on the way. I had to give you that update about that guy. So that he'll totally be convicted of that.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Oh, my gosh. Can we just like karaoke with some Tina Turner? Whether it's Proud Mary, which is one of my favorites, or Simply the Best, or What's Love Got to Do with It, or I Don't Want to Fight. Oh, my gosh. Tina Turner has passed away, aged 83. She's passed away to her home in Switzerland, where she has resided for a number of years, over 10 years now. And I mean, she's an absolute legend. Tina Turner has passed away. Anna Mae Bullock passed away, age 83. Absolute legend. I think she had one of the best voices of any singer, male or female, out there.
No doubt.
I mean, a true absolute icon. She could do rock and roll. She could do blues. She could do pop. She could do anything. Good heavens. Yeah, dance and sing and act. You don't get them like that anymore. Mm-mm. No, you don't get them like that anymore. Holy wow. That is one. We're shocked because we're like, that's one that we did not expect. We did not expect somebody like, you know, like to lose Tina Turner. That's not fair. Now that's off limits, 2023. That's off limits. So now we were having this conversation, and if you're just joining us, talking about Tina Turner passing away, age 83. I know. She had a stroke recently. I know she had, and didn't her son, she lost her son. I think her son passed away, but she had some health issues from what I read. Like, I didn't know her or anything. I just, you know, read them like you all did. But goodness. But yeah, at her home in Switzerland, aged 83. Now, Kane and I were talking, it seems to be true. My grandmother, God rest her soul, had a rule that it always happened in threes. So if anyone that she knew passed away, she would start checking in on the older folks, she said, that might be close. My gosh, she's such a morbid woman. But we were trying to figure out, when did Jerry Springer pass away? Because is that part of the three, or does this start a whole new number of threes?
Yeah. So what was it? It wasn't Harry Belafonte. Who was it?
That was a little bit ago.
Gordon Lightfoot. That was the one I thought about. That was just less than 2 weeks ago. So I think Is it, what's the time frame? Is it within a 2 week period?
I think just, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing.
So if it is, then it would be, I think, Gordon Lightfoot, Jerry Springer, and now Tina Turner as the three, if we were to do three. So it would now start another three, unless I'm missing someone that
so
also
So you had
passed.
Sheldon Reynolds, Earth, Wind, and Fire. He was May.
Jeff Beck.
Yeah, but that was a little while. That was a while ago.
We covered.
Oh, the Thor guy, Ray Stevenson.
Oh, that's
he
right.
just passed away. So technically, this is two. So
this is two. Then.
This is two.
Well, we covered Springer and Belafonte. They were 2 days apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think just recently, because weren't they like in February?
Who?
Or April? Belafonte and Springer.
No, I thought that was earlier this month, wasn't it?
It was end of April. Yeah.
Oh well, okay. So it was end of April.
Ooh, well then that would mean
maybe that's too far out.
Yeah, that would, well, I don't know, because then that would make Ray Stevenson three, and then this would start a whole
We're
new...
We're discussing the rules of how to count celebrity deaths.
Is this a Southern thing? Like the rule of threes and deaths? My grandma had this rule, and I never thought to ask her how it worked.
Yeah, we're Midwestern. I think it's a Midwestern thing.
Is it? I don't know. I think it's an old people thing. That's because I don't know any person our age that does this.
Yeah, I think it caught on in the late 90s and early 2000s on the internet. But
a friend's dad said, well, what about the bassist for the Beatles in their early? I never even heard of that guy. That didn't count. That guy, I didn't know his name. No, I'm sorry. That doesn't count. So I would say Ray. Oh, my gosh. Is it Ray Stevenson and then her? Because then that would mean there's one more. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't know who it is. Anyway, this is sad all around. All right, so tonight I will be participating in the Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, hosted by David Sachs. That's from 5 to 6 Central. I'll send you all a thing about that, Facebook, YouTube. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack Chapter and Verse. Today in Stupidity came.
All right, it is the Pride of St. Louis, Cori Bush.
The Pride.
Did I say Pride? I meant embarrassment. I don't know why I said that. Here she is about gas stoves again. Listen.
I can only imagine the number of my constituents who are unknowingly being poisoned by their gas stove in the state that it is.
What?
Without this proposed rule being in effect.
Man, if that rule was in effect, no poisonings of gas.
I mean,
will
it's based on a study where they sealed the room and had no ventilation.
Hey, come on.
Nobody cooks like that. Nobody who knows anything about cooking knows that they all know that you don't cook like that. Folks, we got Governor Ron DeSantis on the show tomorrow. Have a great night. Back with you then.